In the new TV series, She-Hulk Attorney at Law, the Hulk's cousin accidentally acquires some of his Hulk powers. So now she has to juggle her career as a lawyer with the fact that she sometimes turns into a super strong green giant. I'm Stephen Thompson. Today we are talking about She-Hulk Attorney at Law on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today is New York Times food reporter and author of the best-selling cookbook, Indian-ish, Priya Krishna. Hey, Priya.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Also with us is iHeartRadio producer and host, Joelle Monique. Hey, Joelle.
Hi, Stephen.
It's great to have you both. So, She-Hulk Attorney at Law is yet another spinoff within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This one stars Tatiana Maslany as Jennifer Walters, a skilled young attorney whose promising career is at least temporarily derailed when she gets some of her blood mixed up with that of the Hulk by accident. It can happen to any of us. The Hulk, aka Bruce Banner, aka Mark Ruffalo, is her cousin, and he ends up mentoring her on her journey to becoming She-Hulk. It's a classic hero's journey as she resists the call and has to juggle her career, her superpowers, and her newfound fame. But it's also a lighthearted legal comedy complete with fourth wall breaking asides to the camera. And the villains, at least so far, are silly buffoons like the superpowered influencer Titania, played by Jameela Jamil. But we're only 6 episodes into the show's 9 episode debut season, and darker forces appear to be looming. The cast also includes Renee Elise Goldsberry as a rival lawyer, Ginger Gonzaga as She-Hulk's best friend and colleague Nikki, and Josh Segarra as their lovable coworker who's nicknamed Pug. The show was created by Jessica Gao and airs on Disney Plus. Joelle Monique, I'm going to start with you. What did you think of She-Hulk Attorney at Law?
Oh my gosh, those first 4 episodes are truly magical to me. They're a lot of fun. I'm obsessed with Pug. I think he's so great. If you've seen him on the other 2, he's wonderful.
Yes,
there as well.
So good.
Basically the same character.
Yes, 100%. Like, here's a lovable guy. You might think he's kind of doofy, but he's so emotionally intellectual that you just can't help but kind of be endeared to him immediately. And I love Tatiana Maslany. I love her as this character. It's so laid back from what she usually plays and fun. And the idea of She-Hulk, the character, is so intriguing. Like, she is a super hulked out woman, and the comic books tend to play out on this idea of what do you have to endure, you know, through the lens of feminism as a buff hot babe. And like, she's a fashionista, and there's so much to love about it. Unfortunately, on the technical aspects, there's like some questions I have about the show, specifically the idea that this is a weekly show that seems like it was made to be streamed all in one sitting. But I love these characters, and I love the precedent it sets for Law in the Marvel Universe. And I think it's going to have larger implications, which makes it an exciting watch.
Okay. How about you, Priya?
I want to like this show so badly. I am a Marvel head. I've watched and rewatched all the shows and all of the movies, but I'm still sort of chasing that like WandaVision, Miss Marvel high, and I'm not getting it with She-Hulk. I don't know. I found even the very first episode when like Hulk's blood gets on her, I was just like, wow, is it really? This is the first time Hulk has spilled blood and it's gotten on someone? Like, how has this not happened before when he's like in the car with people? I found that part a little like,
because she's a relative, it's supposed to be part of.
You have to go all the way back to the 08 Hulk to understand some of the implications of what's happening here, which makes it also a challenge.
I just find it to be like, I know that this is like the MCU trying to be like, this is like a real feminist show that really explores in a more nuanced way what it's like to be a Hulk, but a woman. I find a lot of it a little heavy-handed, a bit cheesy. It doesn't have the nuance that I would have loved. I'm not sold on the legal drama aspect of it. Like, obviously, there are so many lovely, charming moments. Pug is absolutely one of my favorite characters. The Avengers t-shirt. But overall, I have to say I'm a little disappointed by the show.
Okay. It's interesting. This, I think my chief complaint about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that it is so deeply complex and I have absolutely no ability to retain any of it. So the more exposition is required and kind of the higher the stakes are, the more I tend to drown it out. And so for me, coming into this show and realizing that it was kind of a knockabout comedy, that really helped for me. I'm glad that there's a Marvel show where the stakes don't feel terribly high. And there's kind of this undercurrent that there's this kind of a bigger storyline. And as soon as they kind of introduce that there might be a bigger storyline, I was like, ah, come on. Just have her go to weddings and doof around. Like that.
I think this is going to be such a huge issue for Marvel because it's almost like, I was like, how does this connect into the larger sphere? I need to know, like, where are the other Avengers? You know, are they going to be upset that she's claiming to be an Avenger when she's not? Like, there's like a lot of those aspects. I'm like, I want to get back to this bigger world, but I do think there's going to be a lot of like casual Marvel fans who are like, oh, this is a nice break from like the research I need to do before I get into it. And I think that's going to be a sticking point for Marvel going forward, is how do we adhere to these long-term fans who have retained all this knowledge and, you know, still be able to touch base with folks who are just interested in this character or this type of series.
Yeah, I mean, there is some integration into the Marvel Universe. They are certainly cameos on this show and certainly guest spots on this show. We meet and re-meet several well-known members of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I found my least favorite episode of the show was the pilot.
Same.
Which I found really, like, first of all, woof, that CGI is not great. And all the stuff with the classic kind of hero's journey, she's resisting the call, she's training montages. It's very Mark Ruffalo centric. To me, it's just like, it's just revving at the starting blocks instead of just like telling me the story.
Well, this was originally supposed to be episode 8, I believe. Yeah.
The original plan was that we would have all this Mark Ruffalo stuff late in the season.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where the starting point was.
Yeah, I might have liked that more.
I don't know if we would have gotten more of that case with Titania and gotten a little more information on who she is, which is something I'm really missing from the series.
Same. Who is that character?
Maybe I'm taking my pro The Good Place perspective into that, because I see Jameela Jamil and I'm like, great, it's Jameela Jamil. And the fact that that character is underdeveloped isn't bothering me yet. And I kind of like that she's not a big threat. Lower the stakes. I like it when the stakes are a little lower.
Steven, I totally see what you're saying. Like, I am all for lower stakes Marvel content where the villains aren't like, I want to destroy the universe. But just, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more than she has some superpowers and is like presenting herself as an influencer. I love the idea that like, people who are remotely superpowered would then like try to become influencers, but the execution is not there for me in that character. Not yet, at least.
Even the wedding episode, like Titania comes back in episode like 6, it's a wedding episode. They claim it's going to be a bottle episode. It's, to my understanding, it's not a bottle episode because you keep bouncing back to the office and now we're dealing with a legal case about a man who lives forever, but pretends to die in order to get out of being married to, like, at this point, I think it's 9 different people. And that's kind of fun, I guess, but I really wanted a bottle episode with a damn wedding. I love a wedding episode of television. I need the drama of the dress. She wears the most ridiculous, the bride, who is an old friend of Jennifer's. She wears the most ridiculous wedding dress and no one comments on, there is no discussion of like any of the fun things that happen at a wedding, like are just sort of very quickly glazed over. Like it's a cash bar instead of an open bar. It's, which again, to wrap it back to the beginning, I just think that there's something about the structure of these episodes and how they're timed out that doesn't work in a weekly, let me slowly consume and contemplate what's happening in these shows. I wonder if on a rewatch, streaming, kind of just binging and getting this very casual, fun, funky feel, if I'll feel differently about the series.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do get the process with any of these shows where you're waiting over time to kind of get to know the characters better. And it takes a little while for a show to get in the pocket and kind of establish the relationships between the different characters. And I felt a certain, first of all, I just like the raw materials. I do like the casting. I like Tatiana Maslany. I'm happy to see her in a little bit of a lighter role where she's able to kind of showcase her comedic chops. I think I agree so completely that Josh Segarra is such a delight. And if that's just what that guy is like.
The actor?
Yeah. Because he's basically playing the same character in this that he plays in the other two. And he is mm-hmm. so freaky. If that's just what he's like, then I just want him to be my friend.
Yes.
Yes.
I think Ginger Gonzaga is doing nice work as the best friend. It's very clear that we don't know her whole story, that we're kind of waiting mm-hmm. for another shoe to drop in terms of what her character is all about. I like the people who are making this show. Yes. I like the people who are on this show. And that combined with the fact that they're not trying to save the universe and not spewing 10-minute gobs of exposition at me, I dug it.
Well, okay. We can talk about some of the highlights too. Okay. So we get such beautiful moments, like she's pretending to be drunk to figure out if Captain America has had sex or not.
Yeah. Great scene.
That's like classic Jessica Gao like style comedy. For listeners who don't know, she wrote Pickle Rick episode of Rick and Morty. I love the girl who's always like, Wongers!
Madison.
Wongers! Hi.
Oh, did you get a ticket for texting? Just say you were texting 911. They can't prosecute.
That isn't what this is, and that's not true.
Yes, love her.
I think what would really sell this show for me, or something that I would love to see more of in season two, is these like one-off, like really strong personality characters in every episode. If you're going to do like episodic and have a case of the week, like make it a super memorable case, like with the light elf from Asgard. Like she was delightful and funny, and it was great to sort of see another aspect of Asgardians in a way that, again, mm-hmm. wouldn't lose like a casual viewer, but it's really fun for people who are like deep into the lore. I think on the comedy angle, it's been a lot of fun to watch. I really enjoy sort of, I liked the idea of a superhero costumer sort of in the way of like the Incredibles, where they're super bitchy yeah. and like uptight and fun.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the internet kind of got upset about the dress? Wait, Priya, I'm interested. Did you see any of the controversy on the dress that this designer makes for the She-Hulk?
No. Can you tell me about this internet controversy?
People really, really, really did not like the blue and white polka dot dress because Jen Bartel, who's an incredible artist, uh-huh. has done a lot of costuming for She-Hulk yeah. that brought her into like this new era. I'm talking like the sporty like suits and, right. you know, pencil skirts and like this very like highly stylized. And so I thought when she was getting these designers, it would be like, oh, those are clothes we want and they look really good mm-hmm. and they're super fashionable or whatever. And people are like, she got a blue and white polka dot dress. And I thought it was okay. But it was not like, oh my God, let me run to the store and buy the dress. I'm just curious, you know, how you felt about the fashion, if you felt it was appropriate for the character.
I found the like Edna Mode style costumer to be really mm. delightful. The little like daredevil sneak at the end mm. was really fun. But again, I will just go back to like, I love the idea and concept. Execution, it isn't all there for me. Like, I feel so bad saying this because I love all of the actors in the show. I'm a big, big fan of Tatiana Maslany. I was so happy about the casting. I love that Wong is like the Nick Fury of this phase of the MCU. I love seeing him pop up so often. I feel like that actor is getting to like exercise his comedic chops and he's just yes. so fantastic. Like I think about a show like WandaVision, where like the anticipation week to week was just so thrilling. And I don't feel that way about this. And I know I'm not supposed to. This is not supposed to be WandaVision. This is supposed to be lighter hearted. This is supposed to be maybe more accessible for people who don't love the MCU. I felt somewhat similarly to this that I did with Thor Love and Thunder, which is that like, I love the idea. Mm-hmm. I loved a lot of the joke setups. In theory, execution wasn't great.
All right, last question. Will you keep watching?
Yes, I will keep watching because this is like what the Marvel Universe does. If you don't keep watching, you miss some element. Yeah. And this sets like everything sets up the next thing. There was a point in which I was like, do I need to watch the kid short, I Am Groot, because is there some secret post-credit scene that sets up the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie? So yes, I will of course keep watching, because this is what we do, us Marvel fans.
I was going to say, Marvel has defeated you completely.
We keep watching no matter what. And like, it's not like I actively dislike this show. You know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has now become vast enough that there's something for everyone. And I think this is just not for me.
All right. Joelle, you going to keep watching?
Yes, Steven. Well, Black Panther is next, okay? I would have to be buried under the ground not to continue watching at this point.
Well, we want to know what you think about She-Hulk. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Priya Krishna, Joelle Monique, thanks so much to both of you for being here.
Thanks, Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode was produced by Hafsa Fatima and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello, Come In provides our theme music. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.